Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It seems like a long time since I've been up here. It's been a couple weeks. Well, you know, the Lord's good. And, you know, one thing that I was listening to Brad Thursday night over on the tape. And one of the things is people want the promises of God.
That's right.
They want the promises of God, but they don't want to be obedient to God. And accountable. But they all want the good things. But really, it's all good if you yet just submit. And you know, I had experienced something up in the mountains. It was just a blessed time. And you know, I know me and Paul and I went back. It was probably 8 years ago, 9 years ago. It was when Paul and I, we were ridden in a campsite up there where we were at, the same Coney State Park. And I remember being there with him. And I remember it being a really blessed time. It was only 6 or 7 years? I think it was longer than that. But
I was working at Walmart.
Okay, 6 or 7 years. And and I, you know, this was before I was married. This is before I had kids. And I was back up there again with my family and with my kids. And I, could look back and seen where I was, and I was there, and I'm the same screwed up Phil.
Amen.
You know? But the Lord has been good to me, regardless. And it wasn't because I dressed myself up pretty. It wasn't because I just started being righteous. It was nothing on my part. For Him to bless me like He has.
That's what He does.
It's that He's good. And I looked at that and that's an awesome God.
Amen.
That can love us no matter how screwed up we are. And those are the things that keep us back from receiving a lot of times. That love. His love is complete. His love is right there for you. But in our own minds, we separate ourselves from that love because we don't think we're worthy of it. But let me tell you, you're never going to be worthy of it. So just take it and run with it. You know what He asked us to do? To believe Him. To believe Him. That's what keeps us back from receiving those things, is believing on what He has done. And how it covers all sin. And how He was resurrected in power and has given us new life. Because He's good and He loves us. It was a blessing. And I want to turn to John 15. And this place where we come to a lot of times is a place of I know for me, let me speak for myself. The place of, you know, I was talking about us trying to be deserving of that love. Or, you know, whatever the case may be. I mean, you know, it's just a place of deserving of that love. You know, what I can do to be favorable in God's eyes. You know, and we forget how simple the gospel is. We really do. I mean, it's a place of rest where we cease from our own works and we abide in Him. And it's Him that works out the love in us and perfects that love in us. What we do is we submit unto Him. We choose Him above all things and make Him first in our lives. And it's a resting place. My burden is like light. My yoke is easy. Because it's not about the capability of what we can do that pleases God. Because we can't please God, not in this flesh. We believe on Him who hath pleased God. That's Jesus. And we abide in that love which He has given us. And we do it just by choosing Him. And making it all about Him. And I'm starting 15:1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not forth, that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. What does He purge you of? What does He purge us of, guys? Unbelief. Unbelief. What is it? What is the disciples ask Him? Lord, what do do the works of God? Believe on Him, on who He hath sent. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. So, I'm clean through the word that He has spoken unto me. Not because I did anything great. Not because I measured up to some bar. No, because He's good.
That's right.
Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Nothing. Good. And I can see that in my life where I could try with this flesh to please God or to do something great. And it doesn't work. And I can also see in my life where I just say, Lord, help. You're good. Create in me a clean heart. I'm tired of doing it my way, Lord. And He performs that which is excellent. He performs that which is abundantly above I can ask or think. And he gives me a love for my family and for those out there, for you in this ministry. He gives it to me. Not because I have it, because it's him perfecting that love. It's his love. And he's given it to me. And the start of that love is humility for me. Because I can go back where I was beat up, chewed out by the world and by my own works, and the Lord yet had grace upon me and has given me mercy and has changed my life, created a new man out of me because he's good. And like I said, the humbling thing when I was out there was, Lord, I'm still an old, wretched man. Yeah, Philip, you are. But I love you. You know, Lord, thanks for blessing me. Thank you for my family. Thank you for putting me in this ministry. And surrounding me by people who love me at my worst. As you did. That's the love where we ought to all be walking in for one another. That same love that he had for me and for you, you should have for one another. We should be looking through that cloud of grace on one another. That's what he's about to tell us here. So let's read a little bit further. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. And what is that commandment? Right here. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Look at those promises there. Joy. Let's start at the first. Ask whatever, and it'll be done unto you. You're going to glorify the Father in it. You're going to bear much fruit. That fruit is love. The more you give it, the more he's going to give you. And you have joy. Will be full if you continue in that love. And what type of love? It's not a philios love, that's emotional. That's up and down like a roller coaster. It's that love of choice. Jesus walked that out perfectly in every situation. And John tells us and commands us to walk as he has walked. He told the Pharisees what they needed to hear. He told that woman that was about to be stoned. And told everybody else what they needed to hear around her that was going to stone her. He told that woman at the well what she needed to hear. And gave her that perfect love. Ultimately, he was obedient unto death for all to receive if they would just but believe. And it's right there. It's thicker there. It's complete for us. And this is the type of love. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Who wants to be Jesus' friend? Amen. You keep His commandment. How do you keep in His commandment? You abide in Him. Because you can't keep His commandment without Him. You put Him first. What does the Scripture say? You cannot be my disciple if you not hate your father, your mother, your brother, sister, yea, and your own life also. Then you cannot be my disciple. That's putting Him above everything else. But you know what? That's the love that will minister to everybody else in your life. To your father, to your mother, to your brother, to your sister. That's the only good thing that you can give them. Is preferring Him first. And He gives you that love to give them. And it's not you. It doesn't come from you. It comes from Him. We just choose Him, submit, and He works in us that which is good. We can go to Corinthians 13. We need to read that. I suggest everybody today at some point, just get in Corinthians 13. Even though I give my body to be burned, even though I prophesy with this, even though I have all the knowledge, nothing is greater than charity. Nothing. And He walked that out perfectly for us when we were at our worst. When we were at our worst, He died for us. He died for you. His hands out there. His hands out there. There's still time. There's still today. You have another day. Praise God. Amen. Let's grab a hold of that opportunity and let's run with it. Amen.
When Pergivine, what do we do? What happens?
It hurts.
That doesn't hurt. Oh, man.
Sorry.
Uh-huh. It's an IQ to just out. In, out. You breathe in, breathe out, breathe in. Somebody see to it that this guy can take a breath. I think he may be too stupid to take a breath. In, out. No, I'm kidding. Get me. Shiny thing. Well, if you got a grapevine, you purge it. You're picking the fruit. If you don't pick the fruit, it's not going to grow more fruit, right?
That's right.
It's going to sit there and die on the vine, and seeds are in it, I guess. So it'll go to the ground, and it'll reproduce itself that way. But you pick the grapes, you make wine. You pick grapes, you put them on the table, and you eat them.
Right.
So you purge the vine, the fruit dies, it becomes food for somebody else. That's a consequence of purging the vine that is it's a positive for other people. But it brings it enables the vine to produce more fruit, which you can consume. So that's a good thing. When we produce fruit, fruit of the Spirit is love, benefits other people. That love's not there for me, it's for other people. It's for the Lord. I don't know. Maybe that's not as significant to y'all as it is to me. But when I saw that, it was like, yeah. Light bulb went off.
That's the point. That's why Jesus did it for us.
Yeah. I'm still hung up here in Matthew, chapter 10. And he's commissioned apostles to go out in what amounts to a seed sowing expedition. Right?
Right.
And in 29, after he's adjusted to perspective, you know, in 28. In 29, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye have more value than many sparrows. We're singing a song here, and you know, again, this started my train of thought with this, and some stuff started getting connected. But we're singing a song, we're free to live for you, Lord. So how's that working out for you?
Giving you everything you got.
How good are you at being free to live for Him? How good is it working for you living? How good at it are you? Well, if you've been set free to do something, it seems like you'd be going, woohoo! Right?
Yeah.
I started getting convicted of my attitude. Because, you know, we're going to go on a couple of seed sowing expeditions here around the neighborhood. Shortly, I hope. And when we do that, we need to have something different to show them. And if you're free to live for the Lord, then you're going to be interested in the things that interest Him. If He's living, if you're living for Him, and then He's living through you, then your responsibility is to take that life that He's living through you and benefit others through it. He would come after me, right? So, this is the detail that he who has committed his trust to the Lord. This is the detail that life that is in you has for you. Every hair on your head is numbered. How many hairs do I have on my head? Anybody in here know?
I have no idea.
No attention to detail. You don't love me. Right? He says, if he knows you, he knows how many hairs are on your head.
We should have that same attention to detail for the things that are His concerns, His people. I should know everything you need enough to be there for you every time you need it. Need to know what's going on in the life of everybody here. And it needs to matter to me. See, I used to think, well, that's a good thing. He worries about this stuff. That's something I don't have to care about. That's not what he's trying to get across here. What he's trying to get across here is that's how much he cares about his people. And until you care that much about his people, you're not being fruitful. I don't know about you, but I'm selfish and that want to live for you, I'm free to live for you thing. I find myself being free to live for me far too much. If you want to, be successful in the Lord, if you want to be prolific and abounding in your walk with the Lord, you have to have the attention to detail that He has for you. You know, that's... that's what is going to separate us from everybody else out there. Yeah, yeah. All you got to do... this is, take a cruise to 1 John. Beloved, a new commandment I give you. But it really hadn't changed any. It's been the same commandment always. Yep. That you love one another. How many times did he say that in 1 John? He says it in the gospel too. At least one I know of, probably more than that. How many witnesses of that being true you need? And at that point, you just need to know what the love looks like. And Jesus spends all this time showing you what that love, that detail looks like. If you're not that detail oriented about His things, then He's not living through you. You can't be fruitful. And you're lying when you sing, I'm free to live for you. I don't want us to be lying when we sing that. I want us to be telling the truth and going, woohoo!
We should know that first thing love by what He has loved us.
Right. You want to come up here? You can finish out the hour if you want to.
He was doing pretty good.
I know.
Our first-hand experience is what He's done for us.
Yeah.
We should have that. We should know what that love looks like.
First-hand.
He showed it to us.
That's right.
First-hand in our lives.
You walked it out. And you know, when it became inconvenient, and it looked like they were picking up rocks to stone him and finally selling him out to the Roman authorities to be crucified, he still hung in there with that love and said, forgive them, Lord. They don't know what they're doing. He became a priest and an intercessor. And he still yet offered his grace and mercy. That's another thing. An expression of our love. As you were encouraging them to read Corinthians 13, 1 Corinthians 13, the tendency we have to impute evil motives to somebody else. What's it to us? First off, what's it to us?
And secondly, it is in 2 Corinthians where he talks about holding every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. That means you rebuke that thought. You pull it down. That's a stronghold. It has the enemy got a stronghold in you when he can corrupt their love by imputing evil to somebody that didn't have it. That's right. Come against the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's right. He can quote it. That's pretty good. Most of it anyway. He didn't rupture it too bad. But we're about extending His grace and mercy to people who are just like Philip was describing himself. He's the same old guy he always was. It's just that he's been set free to give more attention to the Lord's detail. And the more he does that, the more he shows him how massive the grace and mercy he has been extended was. And how good the Lord is.
You know, Paul, started with the attention to detail with just me and my family.
Starts in the house. Starts in the house. Starts with getting up every morning and casting off this old dead man. And going, okay, Lord, today's yours. Help me serve you. Set my order my path. Help me to put one foot in front of the other. To give detailed attention to the things which concern you. And you know what? Meet you every time. It's part of the sermon out of James where it says God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. You recognize your needful position. That what he wants to require you of, what he has challenged you to do, is to show the attention to his detail. If it comes down to counting the hairs on the head, what's that to you? He did it before you. Showed you how to do it. That's not a place of exaltation. That's not a place of where you poke out your chest in pride that I've really done something. It's like washing feet. What's that?
You can't do it. It's Him that does it. Yeah. It's His love. You can't do nothing without me.
God resists the proud. Is God resisting you today? If you're not giving Him the attention to detail that He showed us how to do, the interactions that Philip was talking about up here, the woman at the well, the lepers he cleansed, the blind guy, blind from birth, the rich young ruler, they were ministered to in their absolute perfect need, perfect understanding of the need, perfect opportunity to show how good the Lord was. And how corrupt, how the religious structure of the day couldn't stand it. We'd have our churches, we'd have the conventions coming together to chase him out. If he was doing this stuff around here today. The only thing
everything the church has ever agreed on. You had the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And every sect and every bunch, they're all coming against him. Didn't want to.
They didn't agree with one another.
No. But they did agree. They couldn't stand him.
Well, that was the only
we got to get rid of him.
Let's be about the business of attention to detail. And then let the Lord, by that, show the difference that he can bring his people to.